We're gonna get going in a minute, but I just had a thought, Brother Brett, when we were singing this song about the rain. About I just kind of made a connection about how the scriptures teach that demons they don't like wet places, they like dry places. How many know what I'm talking about? There's a scripture. It says when they get cast out, they go looking for dry and arid places. They love places where there's no flow of the Holy Ghost, where there's no flow of the Spirit. And God likes to drown them, drown out their influence with the water of the Spirit and with the washing of the water of the Word. You remember when there was a young man and he was filled with so many demons that they just call themselves legion. You all with me? And then when they saw Jesus, they begged him, don't send us into the abyss. Send us into the swine. So he sent them into the swine, but then he made the swine go all the way down into the water and drown themselves. Jesus had a sense of humor, He was probably chuckling about that one. So, when you have a flow of the Holy Spirit in a place, when the church allows the Holy Spirit to flow and the Holy Spirit to move and receives the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it's not a place that demonic oppression likes to operate in. All right. I thought that was a pretty good point. Yeah. Let me say that again. So, when you have a flow of the Holy Spirit and you welcome the move of the Holy Spirit, it's not a place where the oppression of the demonic realm likes to operate. Amen. There you go. See, you receive that. Instead, it's an environment where the enemy doesn't feel comfortable. The problem is so many of God's people have been taught to not feel comfortable in the presence of the Holy Spirit. What did God say? In the last days that I'll turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children and the hearts of the children back to their fathers. What does that mean? There needs to be a generation that will teach the next generation about a move of God, about the move of His Holy Spirit. Are you with me?
Yes.
So that they'll learn to love that flow and hate religion. You with me? We receive your rain. It's just not a weird song. You understand? It's talking about presence. In the Old Testament, there were several instances when the presence of God would come into the sanctuary so strong, so thick, so weighty, Shekinah glory come, that the priests couldn't minister, the ministers couldn't minister. Everybody was pinned to the floor because of the Shekinah, because of the weightiness of the glory of the presence of God. What does the Bible say? In the last days that I'll show signs on the earth, blood, fire, and vapors of smoke. People think that's end time stuff. I think that's the blood of Jesus, the fire of the Holy Ghost, and the glory of God filling the earth with the presence of the Lord. Those are the signs. Are you with me?
Yes.
I know there's days that there may be people thinking, man, I wish the presence of God would come in and pin Pastor to the floor and he would just shut up. Because we've been here. No. But I would rather have that kind of service where the presence of God hits you. I got hit once with the presence of God. I was in the front row of a church. You guys can be seated. I was in the front row of a church in New York. Can you just keep playing just a little longer? You guys can. Brian, can you grab that pulpit for me? So, where was I? Yeah. I was just making sure you're listening. So, I was in the front row of my church in New York I was probably about maybe 27 years old, around that time, 26, 27 years old. And so it was like a couple years ago. It's funny. 22. So we were worshiping, with everything we had. And ironically, we were singing a song about water, about the river. It was called the River of God. And down the mountain, the river flows, and it brings refreshing wherever it goes. And all that touch that river will be revived. And those who linger on this river shore will come back thirsty for more of the Lord, you know. They had a taste, and they've tasted and seen that he's good. And I was singing that song, and all of a sudden, that weightiness that we're talking about started to come into the room. The presence of God so strong came into the room. And all I could tell you was he, as in he, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not an it. You know, Jesus said when he comes. He was coming down the row. Are you with me? I can't explain this to you in words that you understand. Yeah. I mean, you know, you remember Paul said, you know, there, I know a man in Christ, he was caught up, whether he was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. And then there are things that he saw that there aren't words to describe. And so sometimes you try to describe an experience that can only really be experienced. You with me? All I tell you is like that something was awakened in my spirit, and I was aware of that he was in the room and that he was coming down the road towards me. But don't be scared by that. It's awesome. He's awesome. He loves you. You with me? He loves you. It grieves the heart of the Father when people have been taught to be afraid of God. He came and that's why he gave Jesus. That's why the angels on that night said, you know, goodwill to all men, peace to all men. And this is God saying, hey, look, this is so you will know that you can trust me and that I'm holding nothing back, that I've sent my son into the earth to reveal to you that I want relationship. So the thing is like sometimes people hear these stories and they get nervous, they get scared, like, oh no, God's gonna do something to me I don't want done, but he won't. Right. He'll only come if you yield. He'll only come if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, you know. And so I was there, and about 4 or 5 minutes before I felt him coming, I was just worshiping God, and I was so excited. And I said, God, I am so excited. I just want to run around this place. And I said, but I don't want to do anything in the flesh. I don't want to run in the flesh, but I want to, you know, what I was saying to him was I want to yield my body. I want to worship you with everything that I am. And so then he started coming, and I sensed him. The weightiness and the presence of God, I heaven coming to earth. Are you with me? Yeah. Something I never experienced like this before. And in as he was starting coming down the row, he was hitting everybody in the row, and everybody was getting affected with the presence of God in the row, and it was getting closer and closer and closer to me. And then I got hit with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he kind of went, could you stand up for a second, please? It was kind of like he went, you don't mind if I use you as a prop. Okay. It's kind of like he went like this. It just pulled me out, right? And he pulled me out and spun me. And I began to dance in the Holy Ghost. It was almost as if like my feet were off the ground. You know the scriptures where it said that the Spirit of God come on Elijah and he girded up his loins and outran the chariots? That's what happened to me. New Testament. You understand what I'm saying? That is what happened to me as I began to, God moved my body. It was like 1,000 miles an hour. I mean, it was impossible to move. And you know, and when I was in it, I was just like, "Whoa!" It lasted about maybe 5 or 6 seconds and it got faster and faster and faster and faster, and then just came off me, dropped me to the ground, and then went on down the row. I did not go home that day wondering if God was real. You with me? It was awesome. I began to understand how Samson was able, and the scriptures say that he was able to kill all the Philistines that come against the Israelites. I began to understand how those in the Old Testament, when it talked about the Spirit of God, how David was able to kill a lion and kill a bear. You know, we try to think about all that stuff and rationalize all that stuff, but what happened is the Bible said on the day that the prophet Samuel came and anointed David and says, "Thus says the Lord that you're the king," that the Spirit of God came on him powerfully from that day forward. And then when a bear came after the sheep, he killed the bear. The Bible said when the lion came, not with a slingshot, he grabbed the mane of the lion. We read that stuff and we're like, how's that possible? Must have been a little lion. He's just a little lion. Some of you got that. If you have kids, you've watched The Lion King over and over, so you understand that. No. The Spirit of God comes on you and you're able to do things that you're not able to do in the natural. But here's what's happened. It's been taught out and programmed out of Western Christianity. And that's why God said in the end times, there'll be a whole experience going through the church where they have a form of godliness, but deny the power. And what power? The Bible says you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Listen, it's awesome when the Holy Ghost comes on you like that. You know, you start changing things. When the Lord was on me in that moment, and I was experiencing that tangible manifestation of the presence of the Lord, here's what I was thinking. There's no one that can deny him. He is so powerful, and he's going to have his way. There ain't nothing you can do, man. Whatever he wants, it's happening. You understand? Anybody that ever thought they were nothing, they're nothing. Or they thought something, they're nothing. They can't. You can't do anything. You understand? Man, the next breath, he allows it. Thank you, Lord. But I want to talk to you tonight. Are you good, or do you want? You can come sit down. I really did want you to just. I don't know. I like you. Did such a nice job, and you know it's biblical. What happened? You remember Elisha, when he went to minister, called for the minstrel to come. I just went to look for my glasses. That was weird. He called for the minstrel, and then the Spirit of God come on him to minister. So there's something anointed about people anointed to play music unto the Lord. I want you to go to John chapter 14. We're going to start here. Everything that I said, and here's what happens. The Holy Ghost, he orchestrates a service, and Elder Brett was... hanging on that, you know, with Sherry saying, hey, stay there and sing that again and meditate on that. And because of recognizing that we're in a situation where the Lord's trying to teach us about the coming of the Holy Spirit. I know many of you were filled with the Holy Spirit and received your prayer language last week, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and so excited about that. And, you know, we'll maybe have opportunity for that again tonight. Two things. Number one, I love to hear the youth worshiping back there. It's just so awesome, you know. Three things. Number two, if you weren't here Sunday, they're going to, or I'm taking 13 of them to New York for a missions trip. And so you're able to sow into that if you want on the app. It's called Missions. And then number three, this Sunday is a really, really important service. We have Corne Stone, who's a missionary from South Africa here. She's the one that their ministry, her husband Shannon and her, they're the ones that we provided like 300 jackets for the kids going into winter, you know, this past year in South Africa, and we support them. They're connected with us. If you, when you head out in the hallway and take a left, in fact, go give me that picture, will you? And there's a, I'll show you a picture of some of the kids that, we take care of, some of the orphans there. Pure and undefiled religion, taking care of widows and orphans. And so she's going to be here. Some of you know her. She has, oh yeah, there's some pictures of, those are some of the pictures of the kids with their jackets on that we bought. And then there's some more pictures of the kids. They're eating some of the food, and here they are. And I think we even have like a little video that says, thank you, Harvest Church. I don't know if you have that right there or not. But they, their church is pretty much children. But they go out. That's Cornet in the way back there. You can probably recognize her. And she's actually born in South Africa. And then she was here in America for a while. And they're good family friends with us. She's a deep woman of prayer. Has an unbelievably rich prayer life, and God has used her powerfully in gifts of healing. And as they go out into the community and they pray for so many sick, they've seen many, many miracles. Sometimes it'll be just somebody, you know, that has a stomach ache or something, and they pray and they say, we prayed for a person with a stomach ache and they felt better. We prayed for a person that their knee was hurting them and they were able to walk a little better. And then in the same thing, it'll be, you know, we prayed for someone that, you know, couldn't walk for weeks and it was up on their feet and walking before we left, you know, and they don't embellish anything. It's just, there's none of that at all. It's just pure-hearted ministry, and they're going to be here Sunday, and she's going to pray for the sick at the end. So I want to encourage you, if you got anything going on in your body, or if you know anybody that's sick, you know, diseased, whatever, this would be a good time to come on Sunday and get prayed for. Amen? Okay, John chapter 14, verse 6. Thank you, Father, for your word. We pray that we would receive all that you have for us tonight in the time that we have left. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 14, verse 6 says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. That means in addition to him, that he, you could circle that he. Remember I told you he was coming down the aisle? There's that he. He, the Holy Spirit, may abide with you forever. The Spirit. In my
14,
is it 15? All right, I'm at, all right, 15. Like I said, 15. John 15, 6.
John 14, 15, 16.
All right. Chapter 14. Yeah, is it chapter 14? Oh, verse 15.
Yeah, that's what you said.
All right, hold up. John, guys, let me do this. John 14, verse 15, sorry. Okay. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Amen. He doesn't leave you. You know, the Old Testament, I talked about David, and when the Spirit of God came on him powerfully from that day, he was able to do things that other people weren't able to do. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was only come on three offices, the prophet, the priest, and the king. Amen? In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would only come on in that way, the prophet, the priest, and the king. David was all three, by the way. David was all three. Why? It's a type of Christ, right? But New Testament, you don't have to look at David's experience and go, man, I wish the Holy Spirit would come on me that way, because in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is available to every believer, right? And the Bible said, you. Everyone say, me.
Me.
So the Bible said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say, and King David will. It says, you. Which means me, you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That means that you're enabled to do things that you're not able to do in the natural realm. See, we have a tendency, particularly in our Western culture, to rely heavily on our natural gifts. There's nothing wrong with that. Praise God for our natural gifts. But what happens is it often leads us into places where we're most comfortable. You with me? And can even actually, if you allow the enemy to twist your thinking, lead you into pride. Because you can do this one thing so well. So then you become so comfortable in this one thing. And then what happens is God tries to move you in a new direction where you have to let his strength come through you because you're weak in an area. And then it's like, I don't want to do that. I want to stay in the place where I feel comfortable. And that's been a big problem in the Western church is that anytime new revelation, God wants to bring something that somebody didn't know yesterday, then often people resist that because, well, I'm not comfortable with that. Right? You with me? Growth isn't comfortable. Even in the natural, what happens? Growing pains. Right? All this stuff that happens in the natural, so you understand things in the spirit. It's so funny. People are like, I just don't know, understand how God operates, and he's got trees all around them. Nobody got it. Do you not understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Go. The Bible said you'll be like a tree. Trees take time. They have roots. The roots go down in the dark, right? Searching for water. You understand? Before you ever see the tree pop up out of the ground. And when it does pop up out of the ground, it is a long, 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 long time before it bears full fruit. Just so much you can learn. And so people are walking through trees all around them. They're like, God, I just don't understand you. Can you? You with me? He says, get off the couch and go look at the ant, you sluggard. The Message version. See how the ant works. You understand? There's so many things that you can learn from the natural realm. You can look inside a cell. You can look at the solar system. You can see that God's a God of order. You can read the scriptures and see that Jesus, when he fed 5,000 people, had them all sit down in groups of 50. You understand? That he gives instruction in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 on the gifts of the Spirit, how they operate in a spirit of love, and how they operate decently in an order. You with me? So many things, parallels. I told you this before, all your senses in the natural represent things, you know, that you're supposed to operate in, spiritual sight, spiritual discernment. You understand? You with me? You're supposed to be able to pick up things through your spiritual senses. That's what was happening to me when the Holy Ghost was coming down the aisle. I just was discerning something, not with my natural senses, but something that was in tune with something that was going on in the spirit. So he said, I'll give him to you and he'll abide with you. What does abide mean? I mean, he lives with you. In you. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. People like, I wish that God would speak to me like he spoke to Moses. See, when he spoke to Moses, he spoke from the outside. But New Testament, he speaks from the inside. It's just that sometimes we are so busy with so many things that we struggle to hear him. Right? Even sometimes in our church services, we could just get so in such a hurry. That's why, I'm so glad you came out these nights, or Sunday morning, especially with multiple services, there's a lot of moving pieces, And these nights, there's a little bit more room. And, we start praying in here at 5. So those of you that come to prayer and you're able to, come any time between 5 and 6 and come in prayer, you're that much more kind of in tune when worship starts. And it makes a difference about even how you're able to pull on the preacher. The Spirit of Truth, notice it's a capital S. I want you to underline that if you write in your Bibles, and I encourage you to. Why? That tells you that we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Lowercase s, talking about your spirit. The big S is talking about the Holy Spirit. You with me? The Spirit of Truth. Isn't that awesome? He won't lie to you. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And this is really important where I wanted to get. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. I've said this before, and it's the most significant thing that God's trying to do through the gospel message and through the coming of Jesus as Savior, his awful death, burial, and resurrection, and the forgiveness of sins, is one big cry from a father to a planet of orphans. You with me? Saying you don't have to be. And even people sometimes in Christ, although they've been born again, and we'll get to that, through incorruptible seed and the Holy Spirit dwells inside of them, they still in the natural identify with rejection. You know, in the Spirit of truth actually wants to break that identification with rejection off, because there's such a higher relationship than the natural relationship. You with me? In the natural, we have biological parents. The Bible says, can you show me 1 Peter 1:23? I want you guys to see this. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. You know what's so awesome about that? It means that you've been born again, that it can't be undone.
Praise God, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Listen, the spirit of law in religion works very hard to create a boundary and a line that you're always wondering if you're getting close to. And I've told you this, and you'll hear it. You stay here, you'll hear it 1,000 times more. There's no joy in relationship that you have insecurity in. Am I right?
Amen.
Think about your earthly relationships. If you had, I remember when one of my children was in school, they had a friend, and one day the friend was best friend, and then the next day the friend all of a sudden, I won't talk to you, I won't sit with you, and this and that. And it creates an insecurity in the relationship because you don't know, where you stand. You understand? We've all probably had that experience. That's what the spirit of religion or the law tries to create in you, is that you don't know where you stand. And so then you constantly feel like that you need to do more and be more to please God, when this whole thing doesn't happen because of all that you do. It happens because of seed. Are you?
Got it.
You understand? Seed. What does that mean? I look like my father. In the natural, he has a beautiful nose.
Amen.
Amen. Obviously. But I look like him. You understand what I say? You can't plan this stuff. Clearly, this is not in my notes. But you can't plan this stuff. Things in the natural are to teach you things in the spirit. You know, and so what happens is, let's say that there's somebody that's adopted, right? And then they take them, and they're from Arizona, but they grew up in some Scandinavian country. And then they get older and they find out who their parents are, and they come back, and they haven't spent any time with them. They've never done anything for them. They each missed all the birthdays, all the holidays, and all the rest. And they see each other, but guess what? They look like each other. Because it's in the DNA. You understand? It's not in the things that you do. It's in who you are. You with me? Okay, so when you've been born again through incorruptible seed. Listen, I looked up the word. Seed. In the Greek. Because it's written in Greek. And here's what it means. Seed sown as from parentage. All adults. Sperm. You understand? You know how this works, right? So, what are we saying? You've been born again from the seed of God, which is incorruptible.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying to you? You've been, let me put it this way, You've been fathered. When you become born again, it's not just that you got adopted into the family, you're DNA fathered, born again. Not according to the natural, but according to the Spirit. Are you with me?
Amen.
You said you're not an adopted child. You understand? He's your father. You're related. You're, watch this, made in his image. You understand? So on the day that you've been born again, everything changed. What did it say? Old things have passed away and all things have become new. One of the jobs or tasks, if you will, or pleasures of the Holy Ghost is to remind you of that all the time. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit," capital S, "of God, these are the sons of God." Here it is, isn't this great? "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Watch this. "The Spirit," capital S, Holy Ghost, "himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." You understand? Now listen to me. This is why I'm telling you. There's no lying that changes that. You with me? You're not DNA related to somebody. Listen, somebody can say to you, "You have messed up so many times, I disown you." And so they never talk to you again. And you can get a ancestry DNA kit and it will show you're related. No matter what, you with me? So why we say this? Because your relationship with God is not performance-based. On your end, on his end, it was. Because he did what we couldn't do. You understand? Now, here, inevitably when you preach like this, law-oriented people want to say, you're telling people that they can live in any old way and that they can sin and they can live in sin. That's the same thing the Apostle Paul anticipated that argument. Listen, people are not stupid. They understand that this message doesn't mean so go sin more. In fact, what do the scriptures say? The truth is that he has been forgiven much, loves much. It's not, hey, what can I get away with? It still involves, how do you become a child of God? Well, the doorway is repentance. We're not bypassing repentance. The prodigal son had to leave Vegas before he was received as his, you understand what I'm saying? If he wanted to stay there, then he's not born again. You with me? But he repented. What does repentance mean? It means you change your mind. That's all it means. Repentance doesn't mean that you cry at the altar. It may manifest that way. But that's not what it means. It just means that you have changed your mind. You are not wanting this life any longer. And the moment that you have changed your mind and turned back in another direction, your whole world changes. Why? Because there's mercy that's available. Can you just go with me real quickly to Psalm 103? This was not in my notes, but I just want to show you something that can help you. Is anybody getting anything?
Yes.
Well, we're talking about the Holy Ghost. If you're wondering why we're talking about this, we're talking about the Holy Ghost. And I want you to see that one of his jobs is to bear witness of that you're a child. If you've been born again, that was born, you're born again from incorruptible seed. Are you there? Psalm 103.
Yeah.
"Bless the Lord, O my soul." This is David, "and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits." Everyone say all.
All.
Okay, here comes the benefit package of a child of God. God forgives all your iniquities.
Yeah.
Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Watch this. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I got convicted when I read that scripture because you know what that means? That if you eat right, that's the key to the restoration of feeling younger and all the rest, and you know, and so then the law of opposites. So if you don't eat well, it'll age you. Us, not just you, but me. Give us grace, Lord. Watch this. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. I love this. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. And what does that mean? And he revealed himself how? The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. And this is the part I want to get to. Watch this. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. So listen, you understand? Take that off the table. He doesn't deal with us that way when it comes to our relationship with him. Are you with me? Listen, I preach this stuff, and if I have a couple bad days in a row, I wake up thinking, oh no. Where is that coming from? Not from the Word. But how many have felt like that? It's just something whispered in you, you know, okay. You haven't been devoted. You know, you could have shut off Blue Bloods and prayed an hour. I like that show. You ever watch anybody or Tom Selleck?
Yeah.
No. Oh, that's a good. It's a tight family, conservative. New York City reminds me of good Italian food. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. If he dealt with us according to our sins, then there is no heaven for us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Nor punished us. That's what we do. Sometimes things happen to us and we think we're being punished because we're such a bad person. Either because we did something wrong or we didn't do something right. And what that is the law, and the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. How does the Holy Spirit give you life? By reminding you that you're a son. By reminding you that you're a daughter. By reminding you of your true identity. And you know what happens? Then when you find yourself in the midst of a situation where you're doing things or not doing things, whatever, that are inconsistent with being a son, and you're reminded of your identity, you find the strength to go back home. You with me? Because all of a sudden you realize, this isn't me. This is not who I am. I don't have to live this way. You understand? What is that? Grace. Grace comes into your life. You know, Jacob, our teenager, 17 years old, up here preaching on Sunday. Man, so good, right? And he was just talking about the grace is sufficient, not just for when you first get born again, but completely. You with me? You know, the Lord has been having us, or I said this to you when I was a school teacher. Sometimes if I would want to teach the kids something, I would hit them from, you know, six different ways. I would introduce things to them in the beginning of the year that they had never experienced, never grasped before when it came to literature, that, you know, after they've read umpteen stories and studied and looked, then they're able to open something up and just understand it and see it for themselves in a way that they couldn't the first time, but after they've seen it multiple times. And what's happening is we've been in a season here where the Lord has really been trying to do two things. Number one, establish his identity as a loving father, and establish our identity as his children that he loves and forgives. Because listen, if we can't do that, here's what we'll do. We'll just reproduce law with everybody else. If we're living under this yoke of bondage that God's unhappy with me, then that's exactly the religion that we go and we try to put on everybody else.
Yeah.
And nobody wants that. Have you recognized that? The world's not hungry for any more of that. The whole younger generation completely rejects all that because they want something that's authentic and real. And it doesn't make sense to them that there's an ogre God who could help them but refuses to. How do you explain that to a child? You with me? He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. And that doesn't mean you're fearing, cowering in a corner. It means reverence. You recognize he's God. You're not. Look at this, guys. As far as the east is from the west, how far is that? So far has he removed, everyone say removed, our transgressions from us. He's removed them from us. He has blotted them out. He has cast our sin in the sea of forgetfulness. He remembers our sin no more. You've been born again. See, what's happening tonight? The Holy Spirit is just doing his job. The Holy Spirit is reminding us that we're sons, that we're daughters, that we've been born again through incorruptible seed, that we are DNA, if you will, made in his image. You remember the prodigal son, the younger one, when he came back, he thought, well, I'll make myself a servant, right? But the father wasn't looking for a servant. He doesn't need another servant. He's got angels galore. He was looking for a son. He said, son, you've forgotten who you are. And the oldest son really had the same problem. I've done this. I've worked for you. I've done everything you've ever asked me to do. I've kept all the rules. And you've never even given me a stinking goat. And for him, you killed a fatted calf? And what did the father say? This is all yours. You, me, we're interchangeable. You understand? All that I have is yours. Listen, you know the Lord told me, making decisions as we operate this church, being led by the Spirit, and if he speaks to us and says to us, do this, and we know it's the Lord, and he says, do this, here's what he told me. Don't ever interact lack in making your decisions. Just do what I told you to do because there is no lack. Amen. All right. He doesn't have lack. You understand what I'm saying? That doesn't mean live irresponsibly. But it means be led by the Spirit. And when you know God has spoken, don't entertain what you're going to do based on natural thinking. In the kingdom of God, 5 loaves and 2 fish feed 5,000 people. You understand? It multiplies. The moment that we start thinking like that, we've taken our eyes off of him and we've brought them down here. All right, I got 5 minutes. I got to let you guys go. You getting anything tonight? Why are we talking? We're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Listen, some of you, you got filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost last week. You received your prayer language. Do you understand? You were swimming in what I'm telling you. It's not just the water was in you. You were in the water of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, I just need to real quickly, for those of you that weren't here, because some people struggle with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So real quickly, Matthew 3:11. Get ready, Andrew. We're going to go breakneck speed. Just you guys can try to follow along if you want, but I prefer that you make sure you don't get this. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but he who's coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Mark 1:8. I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Luke 3:16. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John 1:33, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said unto me, whom you see the Spirit, capital S, descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so can we establish that there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit? Yeah. We just saw it four times. Some of you, like, not only did you see it, but you experienced it. When Jesus was first introducing the fact that he was going away, and he said that it's good that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. He used the word, I think it's called Paraclete. In the, I got it here somewhere. I have a lot of notes in there. Paraclete. And here's what it means. An advocate, comforter, helper, intercessor, counselor. And he said, it's good that I go away, because if I don't go away, then the Spirit won't come. And he said, when he comes, one of the first things Jesus said about him that he would do was that he would remind you that you're sons and daughters. There's so much. Listen, I have 16 things I want to, like, go in depth on right now. I got so much that I really want to share on this. But, you know, for the sake of time, there's really only one thing that I can share and share well tonight. And that's that when the Spirit of truth comes, he reminds you that you're a child of God. That's his biggest job, to remind you who you are. This is what happened with his son, the prodigal. He forgot who he was. I'll go back as a servant. The older brother, he forgot who he was. You know, it's great, son, that you're doing all this work around here. I really appreciate it. But you don't have to do all this work around here to be a son. You take whatever you want when you need it. See, even in this Holy Ghost church, I feel the struggle, that the bondage that people have put themselves under, thinking, well, no, I have to do something. Freely you have received, freely give. That's the greatest thing you can do, is just pass on that which is given to you. The message of sonship, of being a daughter, of being a child in the kingdom of God, of recognizing that you've been born again of incorruptible seed and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, etched in deeply. It will never be removed. And the day that you die, you will stand before Jesus. He will smile and say, well done, good and faithful servant, and welcome you. See, people thinking, I got to do this, I got to do that. You know, it's like, no, listen, all you need to do is just be led by the Spirit of God. If you live in the relationship of who you are, the fruit will take care of itself. Right? What did he say? You know, he will tell some, you fed me, you clothed me, you visited me in prison, you did all these things. So sometimes people, they run out and try to do these things thinking they've got to earn this relationship with him. But all those things are just fruit of a relationship. Because if they're done in the wrong spirit, they're done out of law, and the motivation is, well, I'm going to take care of this person, or I'm going to do these things because I want God to accept me. Are you with me? Yeah. You don't go to a food bank and feed people because you're hoping that then someday when you see Jesus that he's not disappointed in you. Come on, are you hearing me? You just go do it because you're operating in the spirit of love, because you're loved. It takes all the pressure off, you understand? You're led by the Spirit. You'll find right where you're supposed to be. What did God say? He goes, I'm just all coming to the Holy Ghost. I have good works that I prepared ahead of time for you to walk in. You just be led by the Spirit. You walk right into them. Amen. You understand? All of a sudden, there's a situation and there you are, anointed with the presence of God, a child of God, and you've walked into that situation and you changed the atmosphere because of who you are. You don't experience any of that if you're always trying to earn his favor through your works. In fact, you're feeling guilty, and you know what happens? Eventually, you find that you can't do it in your strength. And then usually you give up. Or you carry on in dry and arid places. Right? You with me? And the devil's like, ha, I love this. I feel comfortable here. I can oppress. All right, I think that's good. All right. Let the Holy Ghost remind you, he bears witness with your spirit that you're a child. You know what? Is there anyone here that you're not sure? You hear the message and you're like, man, I want to know that I'm that child of God. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. You're basically like the younger brother, and you're like, I changed my mind. Whatever was going on in my life, I don't want that anymore, and I just want to run back and be the son or daughter that God has created me to be. And if there's anybody here that you're not sure that that's ever, you've ever had that experience and you've heard that talked about tonight and your heart has been stirring and burning, now's the time to take care of that. So if that's you, just raise your hand right now and I'll pray for you. Okay, I've got one, two. Anybody else? Okay, praise Jesus. Thank you so much. Do you know, and Sydney, I love because you answer the altar call every time. You're so sweet. I don't mean to embarrass you, but I want you to know what the scriptures say, that the Bible says that they throw a party in heaven, and that not only the angels celebrate, because we talk about that all the time, that the angels are celebrating, but the Father is celebrating because his daughter's come home. I'm going to ask you to come on up here, if you don't mind. And then Angela, Pastor Angela, Terry, you guys take care of this. Praise Jesus. Sherry, come play something. And then we're just going to give the Holy Ghost a moment here. And then if... that's awesome. Praise God. You take care of Sydney. Thank you, Jesus. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know here's what you've just heard? The gospel. Yeah. You understand? That's the message you're supposed to go communicate everywhere. Stop, getting caught up and telling people what they got to fix and all the rest. That message is what draws. The Bible said it's the kindness of God that leads men to repentance. He is kind, he is loving, he is forgiving, and he has been misrepresented. And it's time he gets represented accurately. And if you forget this ever, and you're feeling that condemnation come on you, I want you to remember to go to Psalm 103 and just read who the Father is. That's why David was telling himself, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to his mind as well as emotions. He's reminding himself, bless the Lord, O my soul. And don't forget all his benefits. Why? Because we have a tendency to forget. And so he's reminding himself. And so if you have a tendency to forget, you go back there and you read that again and you claim that and you recognize that's who he is and that's who you are. You go to the Word and that's where you can find out who you are. Amen? I'm so, man, praise Jesus, man. You know, the truth is that, the entire existence of this church and everything that's gone on and all the rest, all would be worth it for that one moment where somebody's eternity is shifted forever. Amen. That's why we're here. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I owe you all 6 minutes. I'll see you Sunday. God bless you and drive safely and have a good evening.